Are the Jews and the Gentiles saved in the same way? That's one of the things we're going to explore on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. You are joining part of a series here in this episode, and the series is 100 Faith Alone Verses, and it's based on a book by Dr. Bob Wilkin by the same title. Speaking of which, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show. We're discussing a book that Bob is working on that should be available for the summer, 100 Faith Alone Verses. 100 verses that teach salvation, eternal salvation, is by simply believing in Jesus.
Right.
Where are you at this point in the writing process? I think the first draft is more or less finished.
We're pretty far along, and I'm hopeful that I can finish it within the next couple of weeks, and then I have to go back through all the editing again.
But right.
Hopefully, it'll be done within a few weeks, and then completely done with the editing, proofing, and typesetting within, say, 2 months.
Yeah, very good. And then that'll be available at faithalone.org and amazon.com. We've gone over 3 verses so far in previous episodes that you can listen to on iTunes or at our website. Today we're going to go over Acts 15:11, and I wonder if I should read a little bit before then. It's a speech, maybe not the whole speech, but a larger section of it, maybe.
Right, you could read verses 7 through 11, and let me give a quick lead-in.
Yeah, go for it.
What happened was Paul and Barnabas had come back from their first missionary journey, and they were in Antioch, and some Jewish people came from Judea to Antioch, and they were opposing Paul and Barnabas. And they said, Acts 15:1, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Luke says certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren. Mm. So you actually had unbelieving Jews coming down from Judea and teaching Christians that unless you're circumcised according to the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, the reason I call them unbelievers is Luke doesn't call them believers. He says certain men. But Paul and Barnabas went to Jerusalem to meet with the apostles and the elders. They went through Phoenicia and Samaria. They were describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and there was great joy. And when they'd come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported what God had done. But then Luke tells us in verse 5, but some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses.
So here you have Pharisees, and they're still Pharisees.
Right.
Who believed in Jesus as the Messiah.
Right.
So they've believed. And
so they're born again.
They're born again.
And they're not saying it's necessary to circumcise them to be saved, like the people in verse 1.
Ah, okay.
It's saying it's necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses concerning sanctification.
Right. So this is like, how do you live this Christian life? Well, they're Jews, and Jesus, he taught people to obey the law
of
Moses.
Sure.
You know? And so they're like, well, maybe not for salvation, but they need to keep the law of Moses like we do.
And even, according to what they're saying, the males need to be circumcised.
Right.
And so what you have going on here is there were two issues in the Jerusalem Council. They called for a meeting. And at this meeting, the primary issue was the one raised in verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
What does a Gentile need to do to be saved?
Saved, all right.
Is what Paul and Barnabas saying true? Is it simply the faith alone message?
Right.
And then the secondary issue is, what about sanctification? And so at the very end of their letter to the Gentiles, they give them some things they should abstain from in order to avoid offending the Jews. But the primary issue of the Jerusalem Council is salvation. And in verses 7 through 11,
right.
Peter, after they've had some discussion, Peter stands up and makes a great defense of the faith alone position.
All
so
right,
with
so
that intro, would you read 7
yeah.
through 11?
Here's what he says. He says, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So
okay.
There's believe right there.
And what he's talking about here is Cornelius and his household in Acts chapter 10.
Right.
Peter was in Joppa, and at noon was praying, and he had these visions.
Mm-hmm.
And he was told to take and eat this unclean food. I know, Lord, I won't do it. Three times.
Yeah.
And then three Gentiles show up, and he realizes, oh, I'm supposed to go to the unclean Gentiles and evangelize mm-hmm. them. So he does. And that's
right.
what he's talking about in verse 7.
So they hear the gospel, and they believe. So they
right.
just highlight that verse right there. It goes on, verse 8, so God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. So there's that believing, there's that faith again.
Exactly, and purifying their hearts by faith, I have a separate chapter on this, but this is basically what Paul calls the washing of regeneration. When we're regenerated, we're purified in a positional sense.
Okay. Verse 10, now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Now, the yoke is the thing that you attach to...
Like oxen, for example.
Oxen, right, when you're plowing
a field.
Or other
animals, but yeah.
So it's like this heavy wooden thing that attaches
right.
them together. So why are you putting this yoke on? So he's using a yoke as a metaphor for the law of Moses.
Right.
But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. So now he's telling people what he thinks is right, what he believes to be true, through the grace of the Lord Jesus. So that's kind of interesting. What's the significance of grace? Even that word grace implies that salvation is by faith apart from works, right?
Right. It's God's favor that allows this to happen. But what's also interesting is the New King James translation, we shall be saved, is not necessarily the best translation. The Greek does not have a future tense of the verb save here. And so some people suggest it should be that we are saved in the same manner as they. The New American Standard, the New International Version, Holman's Christian Standard Bible, the CEB, the NLT, and the GNT, they all read that we are saved. Because what Peter, when he says we, he's talking about Jewish believers, I take it. But the point is, if the we includes the Gentiles, or he's saying we and the Gentiles, everyone is saved in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we are saved in the same manner as they would be. The Jews are saved in the same manner as the Gentiles, or the Gentiles are saved in the same manner as the Jews.
And that is by your heart gets purified by faith.
By faith. And the Jews were never born again by law keeping. And that's Peter's point.
Mm.
In fact, J.B. Phillips translates this, surely the fact is that it is by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved by faith just as they are.
Now, that we're saved by faith.
Right. So. Now, he's paraphrasing, but
yeah.
still, I think that's a very good point. And Polhill, in his commentary, says this verse, the emphasis is on grace. He says there is only one way of salvation through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I like that Tom Constable, who was one of the faculty when I was at Dallas Seminary, in his commentary online, he summarizes these verses in this way. Salvation is by grace, verse 11, through faith, verse 9, plus nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that somehow people are saved by works. And so the people who came, the unbelievers who came in verse 1, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. That's the problem that Paul dealt with in the letter to the Galatians.
Right.
He called these people, they were proclaiming a false gospel. A gospel that wouldn't save.
Right.
He was saying, look, some people call those people Judaizers because they were trying to say that somehow the means of salvation was not faith in Christ, but it was by keeping the law.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wrong, wrong, wrong.
I mean, that was a huge struggle as the Christian church tried to understand its own identity. As more and more Gentiles started believing in Jesus, more Gentiles than Jews, really, and then the church became really a Gentile church, they had to figure out, okay, what do we do with this multiple thousand-year tradition of keeping the law? Do Gentiles have to keep the law or not? And so is this part of our daily living?
That's right. And that confusion exists today, right?
Yeah, still today.
I mean, not just among Jews, among people who call themselves Christians.
Yeah, and there's a Seventh-day Adventist church down the street from me. they believe you need to obey the Sabbath law. You meet on Saturday. That's the Sabbath.
Not only you need to obey it in order to please God, in order to be saved, right?
You know, I'm not sure about that, but probably. I don't know.
I would tend to think they might say, well, people who are ignorant of it, maybe they're saved some other way. But typically, people who are Sabbatarians are also legalistic in their view of salvation. There's an interesting quote here from Lenski. R.C.H. Lenski, in his commentary on Acts, comments on Acts 15:11, even in the Old Covenant, the saving means was the Old Testament gospel and promise of the Messiah and not the law. Lenski sees in the words of Peter here the same statement that was true in the law, that it was never, this yoke was something we could never bear and our forefathers could never bear.
And I think that's important too. He's saying, listen, Pharisee guys, we couldn't bear it. We never lived up to this law. That's why we needed a Messiah. Sounds like Peter's saying something very radical here. This is not something anyone was able to fulfill.
Right. And I think the point that's important to recognize here is that what Paul and Barnabas were saying, that it's by faith alone, was totally backed up by Peter, by James, by the other apostles, by the elders, by the leaders of the Jerusalem church. They all backed them because they all knew they were saved by grace through faith apart from works. And so they knew that was the way everybody, Jew and Gentile, is born again. And so the problem with people who had come from Judea to Antioch was they were not born again, and they were trying to teach people how to be born again when they themselves didn't know. So Peter's point, I think, is a good one. The Lord chose him, the apostle to the Jews, to bring first the message to a group of Gentiles when he went to Cornelius and his household. The message is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, Acts 16:31, which we'll look at in the next show.
Well, thanks for those thoughts, Bob. If you are interested in learning more about this, be sure to look out for his book, 100 Faith Alone Verses, that'll be available summer 2020. And be sure to listen to the previous episodes on iTunes or at our website, faithalone.org. See you next time.
Thanks, Sean and Bob, for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about how it affects entire families when someone believes. You're not going to want to miss that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in focus.